This is Adrian Paul, Duncan MacLeod from Highlander, and you're listening to Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Carmel McPherson, President of Highlander Worldwide. Please join us for the Highlander 25th Anniversary Convention, The Gathering, in Los Angeles, California, October 20th to the 22nd. You're listening to Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Special edition of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. From time to time, the Blood of Kings podcast may cover a notable newsworthy event, a special interview, or a breaking Highlander news. This special covers all of these. This is our Kingmaker special episode 4. My name is Kevin, one of your Blood of Kings co-hosts. My co-host Norman isn't here tonight. He's on a special watcher's assignment, but will return very soon. We here at Blood of Kings are very excited to share breaking Highlander news in this special episode of Blood of Kings, a Kingmaker special. We have breaking update news on the Highlander worldwide event, The Gathering, a Highlander convention celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Highlander TV series, this October 20th through 22nd in Los Angeles, California. We have a couple of very special guests on the show to update this exciting news. I'd like to welcome back Mr. John Mosby, author of Fearful Symmetry, the essential guide to all things Highlander. John, welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm pretty good, sir. I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Good to have you back. Feels like you're kind of part of the family. And another family member we have here at Blood of Kings, Carmel McPherson, president of the Highlander Worldwide and lead organizer of The Gathering, a Highlander convention. Carmel, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Pleasure to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Pleasure
now,
to
real
be
quick,
sitting still in one spot.
Real quick, though, I want you to mention that you were off in Europe recently doing some Highlandery things. Would you give us a little breakdown of what you're doing?
I was. Annie Christie and I traveled with Adrian for his sword experience. Experiences. And they were absolutely fabulous. We were, I had actually put together a tour around each of them, but I'd said to Adrian earlier on, there really wasn't enough time for people to plan for that. But so that's hiatus tours, and we will be doing that next year. We're already planning our sort of co-events next year for sort of experience and longer tours in each location. We're particularly looking at the south of France at the moment, Provence and so on. But where we went this time, we met up with Adrian in Ireland, and that was fabulous because I'd never been to Ireland before, even though all my ancestors came from there, including a number of convicts. And our first sort of experience was at Trim Castle, about an hour north of northwest of Dublin, and it's where Braveheart filmed, actually. And it's amazing, honestly, the effort Adrian puts into those things is unbelievable. He had his family along as well, which was terrific. Little Royce, who's 5, and Angelisa, 7. It was Royce's birthday, actually, on that Sunday that we did the sword experience at Trim Castle. And the two of them were there in their little red sword experience T-shirts. I tell you, Royce is just another Adrian on steroids. He's loves his sword work, and, you know, just a little ball of energy. Yeah, it was fabulous. Well, sorry, I was just going to say.
Go ahead.
We went from there to the Cotswolds, you know, to Stratford-upon-Avon and Warwick Castle. And, I mean, I've got to tell you, to see, you know, Adrian's classes and then these huge, magnificent castles in the background, and then, everyone after every class all tend to say the same thing. They just feel so empowered after them. The time he takes and the care he takes with everybody does a completely different choreography in every one of them. And what I think they're not expecting is the understanding of the difference in sword play in film and real life ones. As Adrian pointed out, most people would be dead pretty quickly in a real one. And he goes out of his way to work with him so that when he does the filming, he films it as if it's a scene from, you know, and or whatever, which you know, they then get. And it's very enlightening. He spent quite a bit of time putting them up as well. And very, very professional. From there we went to Edinburgh to pronounce anything in French. And you'll remember that from Band of Brothers. You know, remember Richie and Duncan on the steps there at the this magnificent chateau in France. And we actually did it in the stables where he had the fight with oh my God, his name's gone right out of my head. Chamoli. Remember the immortal Chamoli?
Oh,
the
immortal.
Yes, Bon Carter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the ring. Remember the ring? He did the sword fight in the horse ring. That's where he also filmed people there and in the great stable. So it was an extraordinary experience, just absolutely fabulous. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know we saw lots of really cool pictures from several of those events. Of the locations that you visited there for the sword experience, was there a particular one that set with you more that you really enjoyed the most or got more out of?
Look, I probably have to say Shanty because a number of Highlander episodes were filmed there.
Okay.
And it was a Highlander choreographed fight. So now I had been to Shanty before because I've run about five Highlander tours, and we did do one in France where we had a Wingfield along with us as well. And we did go out to Chantilly, but I hadn't been into the Grand Stables. So it's just emotionally, if you like, that was absolutely fabulous. And I had been to Warwick before once with my husband quite a while ago. I actually enjoyed Trim, to be honest. It was a smaller scale castle in some ways, but and maybe because it was the first one as well, and it was probably our only real sunny day. but it was, the other thing that really stands out is, honestly, you could do a different sort of experience every time Adrian runs it, and it would be a totally different experience.
Right.
Because they're different choreography, different people, you end up with a different partner, you know, and so, but yeah, look, of all of them, I mean, there's something about France, isn't there, as well, probably Shanty.
I think Shanty was the one I was terribly mispronouncing recently.
Adrian tried to teach me. He said, yeah, Shanty. No, Carmel, it's not Chantilly as in Chantilly Lace.
That's the way I was saying it.
It's Chantilly. And I said, well, Adrian, I did do schoolgirl French. I can ask people to close the door and open the window. Ouvre le fenêtre, s'il vous plaît. And he rolls around laughing his head off. Yeah.
Well, to remind our listeners and new listeners to Blood of Kings a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Highlander Worldwide.
Okay. Well, this sort of draws back into what we were just talking about, because honestly, can you imagine yourself in 1995 actually accompanying Adrian Paul on a sword tour?
No. I mean, that would have been cool, though.
It's ludicrous, you know. So like all of us, you know, I just fell in love with, I saw an episode and fell in love with its production, the professionalism of it, the whole, everything. We all fell in love with the sword play. I love the writing, the ethics. We decided to set up Sonia van den Ende wanted to run a convention in Brisbane. So in 1997, I had been to a couple of gatherings. Is that what Christmas used to call them, the gathering? Gee, did we copy it? in 95 and we thought, oh, wow, it's a long way for people to come. And anyway, Peter Wingfield was going to come to that, but in the end was not able to. But I remember we did vids with Donna and with Peter, and we set up Highlander Down Under with Bill Panzer's blessing, because there was still the official American club at that time. We ran six of them. And John, you were at a few of them.
It was the fifth one, I think, that I came to, and where officially kind of that was in the works then to become global thereafter. And it was announced, I think, the next convention that it was going global, as it were. But I think the things were in the works around Highlander 5, Highlander Down Under.
That's right. And Adrian, we had Adrian at our first one, actually, at our last Australian one. Our last Australian one was in Sydney. And we had from Highlander Down Under 2 on, we had most of the Highlander stars, a lot of them there. And look, thank God at that stage, the Australian dollar was, your dollar was lousy. So I could run a whole lot of online auctions and be getting double the money, basically. So that's the only way we were able to run those conventions. And that's also why I started to run tours to help pay for the conventions. And then when the American Club went down, in talking with Bill, decided to set ourselves up as Highlander Worldwide, as the official fan club. So, and we've actually run 10 conventions, slightly confusing because we're calling this one 10, but one of them was basically, we called it a workshop, but to all intents and purposes, it was a convention in Los Angeles. And we've run about 5 tours, actually, of Vancouver and a couple in Scotland and... what else did we run on? France, maybe. I've forgotten there. France, right, what used to be.
Yeah, there was a Paris tour, and I think there was the Paris Comic Con. There was a big Highlander presence.
Oh,
there.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes. We organised that for a Highlander appearance at in 2010, I think it was, in Paris. So basically, I mean, as we've seen, I mean, the original Highlander 1, you know, very much a cult movie, and then, you know, the just a continuing online fan love of the show. And then I think particularly with the whole rise of the Twitterverse and Facebook and so on, we got terrific people like yourselves, Blood of Kings, Highlander Rewatched, and a lot of them where people were just able to interact with each other a hell of a lot more. So it was because of what we saw that then as that new energy in the fandom, if you like, that we decided that we would put another convention on, because it has been quite a while. So it was, I think, 2009 was our last one in Los Angeles. What's fabulous about this one is that basically, because the guests are now friends, you know, we've all been with each other for 20 years, it's a very nice dynamic, you know.
Yeah.
That exists, you know, between, I think, the guests compared to what it was in the very early days, available, you know, to fans. And I'd have to say 99.9999% of fans are absolutely fabulous in response. Yeah.
Right. Well, cool. John, I want you to chime in here. Seems you know a little bit about Highlander stuff. You got a book here, Fearful Symmetry. You may have mentioned once or twice here on the Blood of Kings podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself real quick and your history with Highlander.
Yeah, I mean, I basically started watching, I'd seen the film and really enjoyed the film, even before I sort of became a professional film critic. But what happened was that I enjoyed the films. I saw the TV series. It wasn't shown very regularly in the UK. It was one of those things that was sort of like sometimes shown a little bit out of order, sometimes late at night. And I can't remember feeling why I sort of keep going and managed to see it as often as I did, but it made an impression. I got involved and helped out with a convention that was done in the north of England, Chronicles, in 98, which was a small run convention. I knew a couple of the people locally who were involved doing conventions, and I just, because I'd interviewed Valentine Pelker before, because he was like me from Leeds in Yorkshire in England. So I think Peter had to drop out of that work convention as well at one point, and I spoke to the organizer and said, "Do you want me to have a word with Valentine and see if he can come along?" I was like, "Oh yeah, that would be fantastic." So I kind of got involved straight away, sort of being sort of involved in helping organize bits and pieces with Carol Luby, who's one of the organizers there. I helped them again the following year, then went off to the big Anaheim event, the big, you know, end of series
event. 98, right?
Correct. With Roger Daltrey and everybody else there. And as Carmel has said a number of times, it's the fan side of it that was as much of interest to me. I was meeting people, you know, online, and I was meeting people in real life from the four corners of the world. It's one of those great levelers, which I think is why when conventions are done properly, that, you know, they have huge potential. It doesn't really matter if it's Highlander, Star Trek, Star Wars, whatever. It's, you know, it's one of those things that you get people from all walks of life who suddenly have this common denominator. And I thoroughly enjoyed the Anaheim event. I started going to events, and then Carmel very nicely asked me to be a guest for one of the Australian events. And then I kind of stayed around. They couldn't get rid of me.
But you couldn't get rid of him. Go home. Yes.
Well, as mentioned, you have an awesome book out there. You can find it on Amazon, listeners. Fearful Cemetery, The Essential Guide to All Things Highlander. Make sure you get yourself a copy and also leave an awesome review for John, too. We appreciate you doing that. So we want to thank you again, John, Norm, and I, for allowing us to read from your book and reference it, well, pretty much all the time. So thank you.
No problem at all. So much appreciated.
Well, the reason why we are here for an update on the Highlander Worldwide Convention. The convention, first of all, is this October 20th through Sunday, October 22nd. The location is the Crown Plaza at the Los Angeles International Airport. That's at 5985 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. For more information, please make sure you check out Highlander Worldwide official website online at www.highlanderworldwide.com. They also have a Facebook page as well. We also want to remind people, too, Norm and I recently got together. We met there at the Crown Plaza. And on the night before, on Thursday, October 19th, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., we are turning their main plaza lobby restaurant, the Century Tap Room, into our very own Joe's, whether they like it or not. So make sure you go check out the Blood of Kings Facebook page there. We have a Facebook event there. Any chance we might be seeing you guys there?
Oh, yeah, we'll be there. I'll be there from probably the Tuesday. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm coming on the Wednesday. So, yeah, we'll be there in plenty of time, and I'll be propping up the bar.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I'm sure there will be some type of spirits and some type of cheese on the menu as well. So. But let's get into the guest updates here. Now, of course, from day one, we've had Adrian Paul and Elizabeth Grayson. We also have Jim Burns, F. Braun McAsh, David Abramowitz, Anthony DeLongis, James Horan, Stan Kirsch, Peter Wingfield, Jillian Horvath, Donna Leto, and recently announced Joe Pearson. He's co-producer with Kevin Eastman on the anime film Highlander Search for Vengeance. Is there any update? Any updated news for guests for this show?
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, this is the fantastic thing. Carmen and I were talking about this recently as well, that we thought, we'll probably have about five, six guests, then maybe eight or nine guests, and that'll be over 10. Hey, we're into double figures. And now it's getting to the point where actually people are saying, hey, is there any way we can be involved? Is there any way we can do things? Bearing in mind, this might be the last, big Highlander Worldwide event. And so it's kind of escalated, as you say. We've got everybody from the writing team, Gillian and Donna, and the people in front of the cast as well. And we wanted that mix. So I think some of the people we can talk about. Maury Ravinsky is going to be joining us. For people who need to know that Highlander connection, he's the guy who wrote the finale. Wrote several episodes over the years, things like Black Tower, Unusual Suspects, as I say, Not to Be, The Blitz. So he's one of the people, cool. As I say, who was just talking to Gillian at one point, and she was mentioning it about the convention, and we ended up ever chatting. It was just like, yep. So Maury Ravinsky will be joining us as well.
Very cool. Very cool.
And I'm really pleased about that because it gives us a bookend to the gathering. And, see, and the other thing is people tend to think that the stars themselves remember a whole lot about the episodes, but often what they forget is that they're picked up at 4 a.m., they're taken off in the dark, they're dropped somewhere, they do their bit for their scene and they come back, So the people who really, apart from obviously Adrian now and so on, who's gone, who does know all the episodes, but it's the writers, if you like, and the post-production people and so people like Don Paonessa, who will be joining us as well, who's fabulous. So who live, if you like, put those episodes together, And that's why I've always wanted to salute, if you like, the backstage people.
That's great.
Without whom we would never have been able to watch anything.
Yeah, the unsung heroes that bring these shows together. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's great. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool.
We're hoping at this point as well, fingers crossed, we're hoping possibly Ken Gord might be able to join us as well.
Oh, Ken, yes. We'd love to get him on there. He knows a little bit about some Highlander stuff, Mr. Producer.
Yeah, if you want a submarine base found, that's your guy.
And it just depends on his movements, actually. He's just not quite sure yet.
Well, isn't he involved in another production overseas right now?
He is. Yes. He's got two or three. He's hoping, and he's been hoping for the last few weeks, that he'll be able to join us. We're still... I think we're in a position now where we can say he's hoping to join us, but we can't say 100% definitely at the moment because we don't want to obviously cramp his style with the commitments that he's got. But I know he wants to be with us, so we've got all our fingers and eyes and ears crossed at this point.
It's funny, I was just doing a rewatch of the second season of Highlander, and there's the episode that Joe goes into the bookshop and meets his watcher for the first time. Mr. Joe, and then across, he's looking at the guys staring across the street, and there's that building that says Kenneth Gord, something.
Yes. Kenneth Gord Electrics, I think it is, or something like that. Isn't it?
I'd never noticed that before. I'm like, oh my God, that is not an accident.
No.
What an amazing coincidence.
Well, that's really cool. Hopefully, Mr. Gord will be here. We'd love to talk to him. Any other possibilities?
Nobody else, I don't think we can say at this point. Okay. Certainly, there is the possibility that a few more people may join. At this point, we were just doing the calculations. We've got about 15 guests at this point.
Yeah, that's great.
There's always the possibility, as a few people we talked to who we can't say anything about just yet, just because it may not happen. But essentially, we have about 15 guests at this point, I think. And if we do have any sort of last-minute confirmations, don't worry, we'll be shouting it out.
Awesome, that's really cool. We'll appreciate that guest update there. What we wanted to talk about,
the more
next...
people register, the more guests we can have.
There you
this
go.
Is true.
Yes, definitely. So please register, people, if you haven't already. Let's talk go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I know our ticket prices look high when you compare them to the, you know, often $10, $50 Dragon Con or whatever, but the difference at our con is that it is a boutique experience. People do have a very up-close and personal interaction with guests, I think in a very different way than what they have at those huge ones. Plus, they don't really have to pay for anything other than the ticket if they don't want to, you know.
Right. If you look at what they're charging for a quick picture opportunity with like some of the Star Wars people that you just go up, you take a picture and you shake their hand and you're done. Those things can cost anywhere from $50 and up. So if you're thinking about that and the autographs that you get and stuff like that, and we'll get more into that a little bit later, but it's a pretty good deal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we think so.
Yeah. But, yes, I mean, there's a lot of the big events. There's a lot of people. So yeah, and there's nothing wrong with those events, you know, that are very much autograph led. But you are queuing for hours and hours and hours for 30 seconds with somebody, right. And that's great. And that can be a very great experience for everybody concerned. Ours have never been like that. There is the autograph part of it, but essentially, I mean, if you look at the fact that we have around 15 guests, it'll be probably the number of attendees, between say 150 and 200. Mm-hmm. It's almost a ratio of 10 to 1, to 1 with the guests. You don't get that, I don't think, at any of the other massive events.
No, you don't. That's an excellent observation. Yes.
Plus, ours actually is the only true Highlander convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't a whole bunch of wrestlers hanging around, or I mean, it's everyone that's there has something to do with Highlander. Plus, the guests do things with us they'd never do with anybody else.
This is true. Well, let's talk about the classes and courses and such. I know that we've touched on Adrian Paul's sort of experience. He will have one there for sure.
He possibly could have two. I've actually given him three quarters of the ballroom all day.
Gotcha.
So it just depends. So if that first class, fills up, well, then he will run a second. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, let's talk about Efron. Is he scheduled to? Is his master class? Is that going to be his knife class, combat knife course? Or is he going to do something different?
He's doing. Yeah. Sorry, John. Go on.
No, I was going to say, but Braun's going to be doing, technically, I suppose you could say, three classes, because he's going to be doing one of those classes with Anthony DeLongis. So they're going to be doing the Longsword versus Katana one as well, their ones together. So that you get two sword masters for the price of one. And he's also going to do a knife combat masterclass, and there'll probably be two times for that,
okay.
Depending on that. Because the one thing, and Carmel can speak to this, is that, you know, we thought, oh, let's have a few workshops on and masterclasses on Friday, and suddenly it becomes a Tetris of going, how are we going to get it? Because everybody said, oh yeah, I would love to do this, and other people said, oh, we'd love to have a classes with so and so, and suddenly we realized, oh my god, there's only 24 hours in a day and only effectively you know, like 12 hours in this schedule. How are we going to do it? I think, you know, Carmel's worked majestically that there's very little clashes. We tried to make sure that if anything clashes with the various master classes, that they're completely opposite type of things. So you can't necessarily do every single class all day, but you could pretty much have a taste of everything, I think.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. Well, that's nice to know that F. Braun is teaming up with Anthony. That's good to know. Well, speaking of Anthony, I know, is he still planning on doing his bullwhip course, the supersonic flexible blade?
Yes. Now, people will need to be up early for that. They'd probably need to come in the night before, which is good for you and your Thursday activity, because Anthony's first class is at 7, which is mastering the bullwhip.
Nice.
He's also doing then a joint class with Braun on katana versus German longsword, and he's also doing one in the afternoon on the art of double weapons.
Oh, very cool. Good to know. All right. The lovely Elizabeth Grayson, is she going to be doing fan kata class?
Yes,
tell us a little bit about that.
She's doing that at noon. She's doing the fan kata, which she's really looking forward to. I mean, that's a beautiful class, actually. Yeah, very different to all the others.
So give us a little lowdown on the timing here. You've kind of touched base. It looks like the first class is going to be Anthony's
first class.
First
class is 7.
Okay.
Yes, it's Anthony's. But there is one that runs opposite that, because it had to be a two-parter. We're very lucky. We've also got Daryl Kyle, who will be joining us for the whole convention. And Daryl is, in fact, has made a number of swords for us. Some were sold, some will be auctioned. And Daryl's actually going to do a props workshop where people actually get to make – Daryl, I should say, used to make these things for Davis Panzer.
Very cool.
Yeah, so people will make something. Either, you know, they'll make a Celtic ponytail, or they'll make the ivory handle to go onto the bockens, or that. But he'll actually show them how you go about making props.
Mm-hmm.
So part one is also running from 7 till 9 there,
okay.
And then part two of that will be later in the afternoon because they need time to dry,
right?
and then be finished. And then Anthony's going to be tired man, because straight after that one, he's going straight into his joint one with Braun McCash on the katana versus German longsword. And then Lizzie is coming on at noon with the fan carter. And then there's the first of Braun's knife combat classes. We sort of figured maybe people wanting to do fan carter might be slightly different to those wanting to do knife combat.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian's just running all day, basically, in a totally different the other two, three quarters of the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
Mid afternoon, Anthony's doing his art of double weapons, and that is opposite the second knife combat masterclass of F. Braun's. So anyone who missed out on the noon one because they wanted to go to Lizzie's could catch Braun up at that. Then later in the afternoon, we've got Daryl doing his props workshop, but from 5 to 7 we've got Stan Kirsch doing the art of acting.
Oh, very cool. He's going to be running one of his acting courses. That's great.
Yes. Yeah. They can only take around 20. Adrian can take a lot more. He's got a lot more room, but all the rest, yeah, they can only take around 20. So people really do need to get in pretty quickly.
The details
and it's already up.
In the last hour or so, but we put that schedule up so that people can have a look through, because one thing we wanted to make sure was, and one of the reasons we've delayed some of the announcements is we wanted to make sure that pretty much everything went up simultaneously so that people could understand and say, oh, I want to do that, but hold on, it clashes with that. Oh, I can do that one later in the afternoon. So there was a firmer schedule. So that's up on the website now.
Good. Okay.
And also there's payment details as well. There's the list of everything that's going on, and also there's an individual section for each of those masterclasses. In most cases, I think most of the people will be accepting PayPal in advance, and there's details there, and usually contact details as well if you need to ask any specific questions. But most of the time, I think it's fairly self-explanatory. It's going to be packed out 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the evening, effectively.
This is the Friday night, the first night of the convention.
No, this is the Friday. Starts 7 a.m. Friday.
Sorry, yeah, correct, yeah.
Friday. Yeah, and then we've got the meet and greet that night as well. So
okay,
we could have some fairly sweaty guests and attendees.
We're still working on the main schedule for the weekend at the moment, just to work out some of the pals and stuff. But we thought this was the one, because this is the first day, this was the one we really have to get up sort of fairly fast,
okay,
so that people could know in advance and decide what they wanted to do. I mean, as I said, there's a good opportunity to almost sort of, you know, have a little bit of everything in there.
That's great. Well, I thought that we would remind our listeners that are planning on going or thinking about going, maybe on the fence about going, about the kind of the ticket prices and the packages that maybe include the autographs and photographs and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about that and what to expect from it.
Okay, and again, if people go into the website, you know, we've got all this listed on that. But now the preferred seating is sold out, so no point talking about that. There's a standard gathering pass of $280, and that includes entry into all the main panels. Plus, we will also be running panels on Friday, often a bit more fan sort of focused, if you like, on maybe fan fiction or how to do vids or whatever. So they get free entry to any of those things that are running, and everyone gets one autograph from one of our five main guests, And then we've got the preferred seating sold out. The meet and greet is sold out. I am looking at whether it's possible, because that sold out very quickly. There are only 50 available for that 125. But there may be a second one along of that. So we'll keep our eyes, we'll let you know fairly quickly if that happens. John and I are pulling the final program together over the next week or so. So now that we've pretty well got our guests locked down. There's a cabaret that costs $80. These are absolutely fabulous.
What night is this going to be on?
Saturday night.
That will be the Saturday night.
Okay. Tell us a little about the cabaret. What you expect from it?
Okay. What happens at the cabaret is that the guests have to entertain. Yeah. So we get it. Well, you get everything. You get Peter, playing guitar. You get, Lizzie quite often writes a scene from Highlander for her and maybe Adrian, and or she sings. She did a beautiful Desperado. Remember that one Desperado a couple of years ago? And Jim, obviously, when we were in Vancouver, we were able to have Jim's whole band, but I would expect it would be more acoustic this time. Peter's really looking forward to the concert. He's got a little special guest planned to have with him, and so basically, it's up to the guests to decide what they want to do to entertain us for the evening, and then there's a T-shirt which John is in the middle of designing.
One of my many hats.
One of his many hats. Yes, T-shirt designer.
We're going through some designs at the moment. There's always almost always a sort of souvenir T-shirt that we do for the events themselves as well, which people can purchase. And it's we probably need to know about those if anybody wants those in advance.
They order those, John. They order them.
Yes, I'm just going to stick to designing. That's fine. So
and,
Now
the other thing is there will be opportunities for people to buy those photographs you're talking about with the guests, so they're not going to be anything like $50. or if they want additional autographs and so on, because I know Elizabeth will certainly have a merchandise table. Adrian obviously will have one, not only for his own material but for the Peace Fund. James Horan or the others we will be making room available for them and giving them tables as well, to obviously interact with fans, and if fans want photo opportunities with them to purchase, but that will be completely up to the fans, if you know, to decide what their budget is there.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, can you talk more about some of the other panels and other classes? And but before you get into that, is there a possibility we might see Adrian and Elizabeth getting back together and reuniting for Love Letters?
Yes, you will.
I think there's a very good chance of that, to be honest.
Very good chance of that.
My one request is, can you guys film it?
yes.
We will actually be filming.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because I know there's some people that can't make the trip, and eventually, if it can get on YouTube or if you could sell DVDs of it, you can take my money. I'd love to see it, and I'd love to have it eventually on DVD or whatever. Because if I can see that again live, and Norm can see it for the first time, that's going to be a real big treat for fans.
I know that was one of the highlights. I mean, I know we don't talk about the convention that dare not speak its name from last year that went horribly wrong in Florida. But that seems to be one of the highlights. That was one of the true genuine highlights of that, I think, was Adrian and Elizabeth's love letters. I think so. I know there is a plan at the moment that they're going to look back at doing something, if not exactly the same thing, something maybe in conjunction with that. So there is definitely a strong possibility that that will feature somewhere within our schedule. Yes.
Is there going to be any more panels and other things that the fans could look forward to?
Oh yeah, there'll be lots of. I mean, our whole Saturday and Sunday is panels. What we're not going to have as much of. Although we haven't for a long time, it's just the traditional like Q&A, because I mean you got, I know there's newbies, but you don't want 90% of your audience sitting there having to listen to where the sword comes from,
let's just have that. Where's the sword come from?
Let's just have a list of banned questions just taped outside the door.
We should just put an FAQ up with all the questions that have ever been asked over the years. Don't ask them here. there'll be lots of like different ones. So, for example, Elizabeth, who's just the greatest ball of energy, is working on a radio play, and there'll be a number of the guests will be involved in that radio play, for example. It's going to be a lot of just watching the guests interact in sort of different ways with the audience. There'll be a social media panel, which we're obviously going to have you involved in, because that's now sort of so important, in all of this. We're also going to have a sort of like a reverse guest fan panel, where we'll have a certain number of people very involved in Highlander, but also fans, and we'll be talking to you about that as well, as a representative, where the guests will be in the audience and asking you questions. So it's sort of a reverse Q&A, if you like.
Wait. You guys can ask us questions?
Adrian and Lizzie and everyone else can ask you questions.
Wow, okay, cool.
obviously the love letters. Braun is quite keen. He says that one of the things that he and Anthony would be keen to do would be a sort of a choreographed sword play, but where the audience directs them.
That would be really cool. I know they were excited about that,
Yes, we have to check our liability insurance.
One thing that was, I know that we're looking at as well, just from talking with Gillian and Donna, this just came out of a general conversation about if you watch The Gathering now, or you watch the entire series now, you think, where are the cell phones? Where's the internet? Where's Twitter, damn it? Where's Facebook? And it's fascinating to think if the... the series came back, or even if The Gathering was filmed now, what changes there would be in the 21st century. And I know that came from a conversation that Carmel and I had, and Gillian and I had, and Donna. And it was just like, wow, this is actually quite something that would seem to link itself to a convention panel. So this is something we might well be sort of incorporating in some way, saying, well, you know, 21st century watches, you know, what would, if it was happening now, what would the differences be, both within the universe of that and also from a practical writing experience? You can't just get, you know, you can't get lost in the mountains anymore so much, because you just, you know, you just plink.
I can see it now. The watchers will have a secret closed group on Facebook page, and you can just see them like having to turn off all of their notifications because they're getting annoyed. Yes. Like, you know, I'm trying to watch, trying to watch Duncan here in the Sierras. Yeah. You guys just shut up already.
Joe Dawson just poked me. What's that about?
And really, this is the question: how could an immortal possibly preserve their anonymity in today's world, with biometrics and, you know, all this sort of stuff? So I've been fascinated with that for a while, and I raised that with Gillian and Donna, and they are equally fascinated. So I think that's going to be a terrific panel. So it's these sorts of ones where obviously there'll be a lot of audience interaction as well with that. So, you know, it's, as I say, newbies are always newbies. You know, new attendees are welcome, and we actually have somebody who'll be in charge of making sure that all the newbies feel really welcome and involved. But we also, we have 25 years of knowledge and experience from a lot of the people that will be there. So we want to make sure that there's the maximum opportunity for that level of interaction. Mm-hmm. And musings. There's been a lot of musings and discussions over, you know, 20, 25 years. So, you know, there's got to be time to make sure that they're aired, you know, and discussed further, because for a lot of them, there's no right or wrong answer, you know.
Right. Well, that's really cool. Is there any other events or any other, you know, maybe, you know,
well,
anything else?
One of the things, Elizabeth, I've been quite interested to, we've never ever had people turn up in costumes before. And I know a lot of people are very into costuming and cosplay and so on. And I was talking to Lizzie about this when I caught up with her last time I was in LA. And she always has a fabulous twist on everything. And she was saying, oh, wouldn't it be great, maybe at the concert, if we had a steampunk theme, and if people wanted to, you know, they could even steampunk, because I was saying there's so many flashbacks and so many costume opportunities. For those who are interested, we're going to welcome them to, you know, not only just at the concert, they can, if they want, they can be in costume all weekend, but remembering the chairs aren't very wide, but certainly at the concert, and then the guests would, you know, there'll be some prizes and so on. But yeah, I quite like that extra dimension that Lizzie gave it, of if people wanted to not be quite historically accurate but wanted to add that steampunk thing to the costume. I think that could be a lot of fun for some people.
What is this costume cosplay thing you speak of? What is that?
you'd never be caught dead in that, would you?
I had to ask my niece, who's, you know, looked at me in horror when, you know, I didn't understand it all. But I know from having been at comic cons and so on, I mean, some of the costumes are just fabulous, aren't they?
I got to start working on my Hugh Fitzcarron cosplay then. That's what I got to do. Okay.
Pictures of Kevin can be found online in large quantities, it has to be said.
I can just see, can you just almost see Sean Burns? I can just see him looking a bit zombie-like.
There we go.
But basically, yeah, I just say to people, look, if you'd like to come in costume to the concert, a cabaret on Saturday night, and if you would like to, you know, put a different edge on your costume, feel free. Yeah.
That's really cool. Any other events you can think of that?
Sunday the auction. I was just about to say, we should be having our traditional auction.
Okay,
it's going to be Saturday. It's going to be Saturday, and we're going to put up a number of items online before then. I'd have to say we have an extraordinary item to auction. No one will ever guess what it is, but it's probably the most sought after Highlander memento.
Methuselah stone?
No. That's at the bottom of a river.
Or is it?
So people who can't come to the con, we've done this before at conventions, and thank God, because we do have such a reputation for integrity, people know that they can make bids, and you know, those bids are very honestly applied. So, I mean, we had somebody who was a a real Elizabeth supporter, and she would give us bids beforehand. She could never be there, but she'd say, oh, well, I'll bid up to $2,000 for that item. But she might have got it for $250. You know, we will have a proxy bidder there at the auction. So, you know, we've been holding auctions since 1997. So, as I say, we're very, very honest. But it does give people who can't be there a chance to at least be in the bidding.
Gotcha.
And Adrian and Peter will be, if you've never seen an Adrian and Peter together at an auction, oh my God, it's just, that's worth the $290 I'm saying, I can tell you.
It is. That's so shameless. Fun.
And shameless.
What, yes. One thing I wanted you guys to clarify real quick. You guys said you're going to have T-shirts for pre-order online, or is that the only way you can get them?
I know we'll have some there, but if you want a T-shirt, just go into the Highlander Worldwide booking, the gathering booking site, and you'll see that you can just order your T-shirt there. You can order as someone wanted to order six, and yes, you can order six in different sizes.
And do you pick them up at the convention, or do you order them?
Yes, you pick them up at the convention. When people register, they'll be getting their package, and the registrations will probably be starting actually Thursday night.
Okay, all right.
A lot of people will be coming Thursday.
Well, I really appreciate you guys giving us the updates here. Thank you so much. And before we go, though, and we kind of touched on it a little bit, you guys know that there is an announcement that the Highlander franchise is going to have a reboot with director Chad Stahelski, famously known for doing the John Wick films. Mm-hmm. Give your quick impressions of how do you guys feel about that? What do you expect or want out of this reboot? John, start with you.
I mean, it's interesting. I try never to get too excited because it is always one of these things where you go, oh, this is about to happen. And then, you know, things kind of disappear for a while and then he moves forward very slowly. But there is he has a genuine enthusiasm. I've seen him interviewed several times for when he was promoting the John Wick movies. And he's not one of these people where you have to drag out bits and pieces and, oh, I can't really say much. He gets enthused whenever you talk about it, and he knows the series. He knows the mythology of the series. You know, I think he brought up in an interview, you know, the idea of Watchers and stuff like that. He knows his stuff. And I think that's a great big thumbs up. Whenever, I don't know what the result's going to be. I try never, ever to prejudge what a Highlander project is going to turn out like. But it helps, I think, when you've got good people involved. You know, the best series stuff, you know, when you have Gillian, Donna, David and Ken and people like that and Donna and everybody who kind of came together and gave it their best, you knew it was going to be good. The movies have had, obviously a bumpier track record, but whenever there's been people who genuinely are creatively involved, they bring that quality to it. And he seems to be genuinely interested in doing a quality thing. I have no idea what the final result will be, but it's promising. I just hope it now happens.
Right, right. What about you, Carmel? How do you feel about that?
Listen to David Abramovitz, please.
Make him a consultant is what you're saying.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, we've got something that's, you know, kept the fans interested for 25 years, and they always feel they've got to go off on these buffoon cartoons. You know, that I just never get it. You know, I remember talking to one director on the set of one of the films, and yeah, he sort of like proudly says he's never watched any Highlander, and I just think, well, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know, and wow, didn't it show in the final result? You know, and it was really, but yeah, it was really hard watching the frustration of Adrian in particular when he'd want Duncan, this director, to do things that Duncan would never have done, you know.
Right.
So I want the director to either make it a totally different immortal film, or pay a bit of homage, please, you know, to 25 years. I mean, the reality is, Mythos and Duncan and they're all still alive in the Highlander. obviously not in the early years of the 16th century, but Mythos was. It would just be. It'd just be nice to see a little bit of a genuflection to the TV series universe as well, and you know they've got the Bible on hand in David and you know Don and Gillian and so on. Pay a bit of attention to it, please.
Well said.
It has to be its own thing, but as Carmel says, there's if you're going to do Highlander, it's because there is something that resonates about it, and I think at the very least, you speak to the people who made it what it was before, even if they're not actively involved, when the final thing gets, at least sort of say to you, why do you think this works? Even if it's a different vision, different angle, look at the people who made it so successful that you want to remake it.
Or do a Star Trek, which was brilliant, take it into an alternative universe, so that we're not always sitting there thinking they wouldn't have done that. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, that's not canon. I mean, it just begs all of that if you keep it in the same universe.
Well, thank you guys so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in person again. And I wanted to ask our listeners or you guys to tell our listeners if they want to get a hold of you guys, how on social media can they find you guys? Carmel, start with you.
Yeah, or just Highlander Worldwide, go onto the Facebook page, Highlander Worldwide, and, leave a message or you can contact me at hlwwcarmel@gmail.com.
Great.
And I didn't get to tell my Valentine story.
Oh, you know what? I want you to tell that right now.
Because we were talking about how, I think, was it Norm and I missed each other in Scotland by a week or so?
Yes.
And then, Kevin, someone just said, John, did you just say that we were both at LA Airport?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. I think you were basically flying through LA, and I'm pretty sure Carmel was flying in the opposite direction. And literally, I was looking at Facebook going, there are messages here that are from Los Angeles Airport, and literally a match about an hour's difference.
Yeah.
How annoying. Well, Valentine, when we were running the Leeds convention, John, actually at the Royal Armoury, Valentine was going to obviously be there. I thought, oh, that's great. He's in England. That's fabulous. And it then turned out he was in bloody Sydney. Would you believe it? He was doing his John Lennon play and practicing for it. So we basically passed each other. I did meet him just before he flew in first into Sydney. And I lent him my car for the entire time. I was also very lucky. I got to see him actually do a run-through of that play, which never ended up showing, actually. He was a brilliant John Lennon. But when I got back, my daughter said to me, because I thought the car was running a little bit bumpily, and she said, oh, I think Valentine thought your automatic was a manual.
Oh.
Whoops.
He said, I think you drove it in first gear the entire time you're away.
Oh, no.
he's gorgeous. Valentine is just a gorgeous person.
That's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah.
John,
so you just talking about being on opposite ends of the planet. Yes, at the one time.
John, where can our listeners find you on social media?
Well, same as Carmel says, we have a big presence on Facebook for Highlander Worldwide. If any questions to do with the convention, and that probably after the convention. I mean, we're not just about conventions. Once the convention's done, we'll be changing our emphasis to doing the whole sort of encompassing the whole universe, cataloguing it, and having a much more comprehensive site beyond that. So you'll be able to find us there. Personally, on Twitter, I'm There Goes the Day. You can find me on Facebook as well as John Mosby. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just pretty much, I'm wherever you look, I'm there, handing around, lurking in the background, doing something I shouldn't probably.
All right.
And also, just contact HLWW, as I recall. I think that's another one of our many addresses. Contact HLWW@gmail.com.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for Blood of Kings, you can find us on the Master Feed on the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play for Android users. On Instagram, we're at Blood of Kings Pod. On Facebook, we have the Blood of Kings Highlander Fandom Group. Getting a lot of new people there now. We're like over 1,400. We're going to 1,500. We're getting bigger and bigger. We also have the Highlander Blood of Kings CCG collectible card game page, and you can email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. And we are also on Twitter at Blood of Kings Pod. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter @Spartan_Phoenix. And my co-host Norman is on Twitter @Starfighter1701. And our Immortal Chamoli himself, our editor Mike, is on Twitter @ImmortalChamoli. Real quick before we go, guys, Norman and I had a fun show a couple of weeks ago where we had our Highlander Desert Island. We picked our favorite topics of a Highlander TV series. Carmel, who was your favorite villain?
My favorite villain? I thought Hyde was fabulous. I like the understated villains. So I don't like the buffoon, the cartoony ones.
Right.
So I like the ones who are... So I was never a huge fan, to be honest, of Kallus for that reason.
Martin Hyde, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I like Hyde. You know, the ones that were more frightening because they were so evil, you know.
What about you, John? Who is your favorite villain of the TV series?
I mean, part of me has to, you know, has to say Kronos, just because me and Valentine being Leeds guys, you know, I had to show some solidarity there. But I kind of like the characters that were set up in episodes where you're going, actually, this guy isn't evil. He's, you know, he's the antagonist here. But actually, if you were just going to move this around a little bit, you know, Duncan might actually be the guy. If you were, I remember Gillian telling the story of saying, you sometimes you can look at a story and go, if we just moved a thing here, Duncan would be the bad guy. You know, those stories. I can see that this guy is questionable, but really, you know, is he any more questionable? I liked those kind of moral gray areas.
Well, that's what was great about to give us our trespasses. Actually, evil Duncan would. I used to be the chief of the evil Duncan fan. You know, flag wavers.
He was so good. Yeah.
Duncan was just fabulous. Fabulous. Yeah.
Well, there's no gray area when it comes to my favorite, and that was Horton. Horton is just plain evil.
Well, yeah.
He is. He certainly is.
he just beats out Slanquince, what you're saying.
Yes. But he's always got an escape route, so yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on Bloody Kings for this Kingmaker special. Carmel, thanks again. And I'm sorry I missed you in Australia. I just want to say I was a little disappointed. I didn't come across any drop bears, and I'm not a fan of Vegemite. Sorry.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing out on. Fresh hot bread and Vegemite. Oh, my God.
You know Carmel's going to bring you some now. Make you eat it on stage.
I've got to bring you some Vegemite. Yep. It is an acquired taste. We give it to our babies from the time they're born.
I tell you, though, I had a great time going to my first Australian rules football game. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it's fabulous. I mean, look at the speed of that compared to NFL.
Yeah, they just keep moving and moving.
Yeah.
Carmel, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
We'll see you in a couple of months.
Yeah, I'm excited. John, man, looking forward to it. Good to have you on again, man.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to catching up with so many. But I can't believe it's been so long since the last convention. And this has been possibly the last convention, at least we'll do for the foreseeable. If people want, you know, this is one last party. Let's do it out in style.
Oh, come on. You know, yes. you want to do a 30 and then you want to do a 35. Come on. We'll be there for you.
I'm getting too old. We need young, sprightly people.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. And I just want to say on behalf of our special guests, John and Carmel, thanks everyone for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blooded Kings. Goodbye, everyone.
And register. Register.
Yeah.
Right yes, now. Please register. Get on there and do it now.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.